Have you ever sat at the end of a phone and listened to some pipe music while you waited for something to happen at the far end? I remember once we had a flat pack delivered from some firm and it was the wrong one. And I spent 3/4 of an hour waiting and listening, you know, when I had rang the complaints department. So I rang the sales department. You know, and they said, yes, do you want to buy something? I said, no, but I have a question. I said, I got an answer from the sales department in 15 seconds. And the complaints department took 45 minutes. Can you tell me what the reason is, please? people want to sell things, but maybe they don't want to deal with the problems. But we've all had our problems waiting for an answer. And it would be natural to think that you have problems waiting for an answer from God, if God answers prayer. Because, after all, there are millions of Christians in the world. And if you send a prayer up, do you stand at the back of the queue? And the angel says, I'm sorry, the Heavenly Father is busy at the moment, but we will put you on hold. And in the meantime, you can hear the Hallelujah chorus or Bach's, Bach's Requiem or something like that. Isn't it a wonderful thing? God isn't like us. And he has it in his power to give his undivided, personal, wonderful attention to anyone who asks him at any time. I mean, this is something that struck me. If I'm praying to God, I don't think about all the other people and I'm waiting for them. It's me and God. And there doesn't seem to be anybody else has to be there. I'm not having to wait in the queue until, hurry up, I've got something important to pray about. Because this is one of the wonderful things about prayer, that God in his power and in his mercy is able to give us his undivided and loving attention as a Heavenly Father. Kids try and get attention from their parents, don't you? Now we're grandparents, we see it marvellously in our grandchildren. You see how Isabel's trying to get her mother's attention. If she can't get it by doing something good, she does it by doing something bad or something like that. The way that people long to get attention. We have at our disposal, at the offering of God, the attention of a loving Heavenly Father. Jesus was praying once, and his disciples saw him, and they thought, here is someone who is totally wrapped up, if you like, in talking with his Heavenly Father. We read about it in Luke chapter 11. He was talking, and the disciples said to him, they said, teach us to pray. And he taught us to pray with those words, Our Father, which art in heaven, Father in heaven, which we have been praying every week. And people have been explaining, because that prayer is a model prayer. That prayer is a model of how we should pray and how we should think of ourselves in relationship with our Father. And Jesus, again, when he was speaking about prayer, he spoke about his Father's promise, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, page 979 in your Bibles, the church Bibles. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened. It will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Jesus is giving this invitation. He says, knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, and you'll find. For somebody who has never prayed, that first time, real reaching out to a God who might be there or might not be there, is quite a tricky thing, isn't it? I remember once lying on my back on a cliff top in Japan, looking at the stars. with a 16-year-old Japanese high school student lying by my side, and we were looking to see if we could see any shooting stars going across the sky. And we were talking about, started to talk about God who made the stars. He wasn't a Christian, he wasn't believing. And he said, you know, I have problems. He says, my father and father's ill and we have problems at home and I don't know what to do. And I said to him, have you ever talked to God about your problems? He said, no. He said, I said, the God who made the sky and the stars, he's concerned about you. He's interested in what you do. He's interested in the things about your family. And is it all right if I pray for you and speak to him about you? And he said, yeah, that's okay. So he prayed. Afterwards, I met him 2 or 3 years afterwards, he'd become a Christian. He said, you know, that was a time when I first realized that I could speak to God. He's a Christian now. He's a Christian doctor in Sapporo in Japan. I'll probably see him when I go out to Japan this year. In his 50s now. But this was the beginning of a Christian walk for him, finding out. God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we ask. It says here, your father knows how to give good gifts to your children. Sometimes we don't know always how to ask. When I was at Birkdale, about 10 years old, I got into a bit of a rumble with another lad in the classroom. It wasn't vicious or anything. We were just pushing and shoving and all this kind of thing. And I gave this lad a shove. He fell down, knocked his face against the desk and broke his front tooth. Of course, the story gets up to the headmaster, and the headmaster worries about, you know, what the parents going to do, you know, disorder in the school, my child got injured like that, what do we do, you know, there'll be compensation, we've got to take the boy in hand. So, Mr. Healy was the headmaster at the time, he's a lifelong member of Christ Church Forward, secretary of the parish council, he decided he was going to cane me. So, up I go to his room waiting for him to come up. And Mr. Healy's quite a formidable character, and to be on the wrong end of a cane when he was wielding it was definitely not the place to be. And I was really, really quite concerned about this and worried about this. And I prayed, God, can you get me out of this somehow? God didn't get me out of this. And I often wondered about that. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing this sermon on prayer. And I was thinking, well, what did I learn from that? I learned 40 years, 50 years later, I learned this week what it was all about. And this is what God wanted to give me a good gift. He didn't want to say, yeah, anything wrong you do, I can just get you out of it. I'll get you off any time, you know, you can commit murder if you like. I'll see that you don't have to take responsibility for these things. That's what the answer would have been, wouldn't it? If he just sort of got me out of this. I was guilty. I wasn't maliciously trying to injure this fellow, but I shoved him, and he broke his tooth. It's my fault. And the thing was, God was showing me that he wasn't just a person to get me out of all sorts of trouble that I'd made for myself. He knew the best things. He knew that I had to learn some things. And so he allowed me to get into that kind of painful situation. But I learned quite a bit from it. Now, I don't think I learned anything at the time, except that God didn't answer that prayer at that time. And I was a little bit disappointed. But we can ask from God, and he will give us good things, not always what we want. He says, ask and you will receive. There have been times when I have prayed earnestly in crucial situations and God has answered almost before I got the prayers out of my mouth. I won't go into them now, but I remember a boat full of young lads that I was sailing with had to pray, oh God, help us! And we managed to avoid a collision of two yachts, which would have undoubtedly resulted in considerable damage, maybe the yacht going down. But it was something beyond my power to control, but God put it right. And I've had all sorts of experiences of answers to prayer. Because God is a real and living God. And beginning a life of prayer, learning how to pray, is entering into that relationship with Him. Now, some of us, perhaps we're like the prodigal son in Jesus' parable. The prodigal son got some money off his father. He said, "Dad, give me what is going to come for me out of the inheritance." And he went off and he spent it on himself, on pleasures and various things. He forgot all about his father, forgot all about his family, left his grieving parents at home, and went and spent all their money. And when he finished the money and he didn't know what to do, he was feeding pigs and getting jobs like that, he thought, "Well, I better go back. I better go back to my father and apologize and say, 'Look, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but would you take me on as one of the hired hands? Just give me something to keep body and soul together. That's all I want.'" And his father saw him coming from a long way off and rushed to meet him and embraced him and welcomed him back. And the son got a little speech prepared. He said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son." But the father was willing to welcome him back. And perhaps the first prayer that some of us need to pray is something like the prodigal son. "God, I've been a long way away from you. But I want to come back. Help me." And God has said, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find." This is the way that often a prayerful relationship, praying relationship begins. And another prayer that people pray sometimes is, "God, if there is a God, will you show yourself to me?" And it's unlikely that God will sort of reveal himself by a marvelous vision or zapping us in some way. But very often that search will involve reading what God has said. Reading the Bible. Talking to other people who have learnt to speak to God through prayer. Finding out what it is to live in a relationship with Him and realizing what we need to do in order to begin that and what God is willing to do when we come to Him in prayer. I thought at this point we'd have a little discussion. I want you to turn to the person next to you and do one of two things you can choose. Either tell them about a significant prayer you prayed to God and what happened or what didn't happen. Or if you have never prayed a prayer yet, tell your next door neighbour what you would ask God, if there is a God, if you knew you would get an answer. You know, "God, if there is one, I would like to know what you, you know, what you would ask God if you had one question to ask him and you knew he could give you an answer." Or the other question is, perhaps you'd like to tell somebody about a significant prayer in your life, something, a prayer that really brought something about or really helped to change your life and your understanding about God. So let's spend a couple of minutes talking about that with your next door neighbour. Right, can we bring our sharing session to an end? I hope you've learned something about somebody or learned something about God and learned something about prayer from what we've been talking about. And I want for us to turn to that second passage in Acts, because this is a pattern of a church that really knew something about prayer. They knew something about Jesus. They knew something about prayer. And this pattern prayer is something we can learn from too. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23 onwards. The situation at that time. Jesus had been killed in that horrible way that Mel Gibson has tried to show us. All sorts of terrible things had happened. He'd risen from the dead too. But now the authorities in Jerusalem were beginning to start their opposition and make their opposition known. And they were threatening the apostles and threatening Peter and John and others and saying, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And those threats were not empty threats. They could certainly do something about them. And actually, in the next few chapters, they actually did. The next chapter, in spite of the apostles were taken and beaten. And then James was killed. and the apostles were scattered. It didn't stop. Here was a real situation of danger and threat. And so church people knew that this was a tough situation. And so they began to pray. God, like me, God, get us out of this somehow, will you? No. That's not what they prayed. This is what they prayed. They lifted up their voices and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. God, you're in charge. God, you are supreme. You've got everything in your hands, and that's who we're talking to. They'd learned that. They knew that this was the God to whom they were praying. And they had confidence in that, and so they called him by his name. They gave him the name Sovereign Lord. He was in charge. And they were going to bring their problems to him. And he goes on. They go on. By the mouth of your father David, your servant, he said, why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. It was spoken of in old times, they said. This sort of thing happened in David's day. And it's happening now. People in the world, after the Christians, people in the world resisting God and resisting the people of God here on this world. This isn't something new, something David experienced, something Jesus experienced, something we are experiencing now. It's no particularly surprising thing. And it's not surprising, not maybe surprising for us. But it's a good thing to face up to reality when you're praying and tell God just what it's all about and what you feel about it. And also try and get a picture of what the historical, the biblical picture is of the situation you are in. And that's what these apostles are doing. They say, well, this is how it fits in with the Bible. This is how it fits in with what David said and what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Fear not, I've overcome the world. And then they go on. And that's happened to us. Truly in this city were gathered against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan are predestined to do. That's interesting. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the rulers, the Jews, all doing things to Jesus, putting him to death, but God had planned it. This wasn't out of control. The sovereign God hadn't sort of, oh boy, he's really slipped up here. He's let his son die. How come? Jesus said, for that purpose I came into the world, that I might die. And we must remember that when we look at this film. That's the very purpose for which he came. That he might die to save us. And so we read these things. These people did to Jesus what had been planned by God should happen to him. And then they say some very interesting things. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. They didn't say, can you stop the people doing these sort of things? They said, help us to continue to do the work that Jesus has told us to do and continue to do it boldly. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all peoples, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, uttermost parts of the earth. And this is what they were doing. They were obeying God, they were serving God, and they were saying, God, help us to continue, even in this situation. We know that you're in charge. We know that these things will happen, but we want boldness so that we can carry on serving and following you. Some people say prayers for wimps. I don't think this is a prayer for wimps. This is a prayer for idiots, I think myself. Because they're saying, they're putting their heads into more, saying, Jesus, God, help us to do the thing that's going to exacerbate these people even more. Help us to speak boldly and work miracles and healings and that kind of thing. And if that isn't going to get them stirred up, what is? But in that way, God's will be done. And his name will be glorified. That's some kind of praying, isn't it? I don't know whether we've got that far in our praying, whether we've learnt that. But it's a very challenging prayer for all of us to think about, isn't it? And it comes because we have God in perspective and this world and what's going on in perspective and Jesus in perspective. We know that God is sovereign. We know that these things will happen, that opposition and these kind of things will happen in this world. And we know that, as Jesus has promised us, in this world you will have tribulation. But don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. I've got the victory. I'm the winner. And so they prayed. And Lord God, look on their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And that's praying of a kind that challenges us, isn't it? Challenges people who are committed to God. And yet, these people were walking in the way of the Lord Jesus. They were praying in accordance with the will and the mind of God. The Father was leading them. He was making them to be a blessing to many people. I wonder what kind of prayers we have. I wonder how we face persecution, difficulties, tribulation, and these kind of things. Some of us are at the stage when we're first of all meeting with God in prayer and finding out who our Heavenly Father is, the one who knows all things, who gives us his undivided attention. These men were doing the same thing, but they had moved on in their understanding of God. And they were prepared to serve him as mature children, facing up to difficulty with an understanding what God was doing. Because as we pray, we get to know God better. We get to know his word better. We understand what his purposes are, and we experience his power working in our lives. Shall we pray? Lord, teach us to pray in a way which is in accordance with your will and your spirit. We know that sometimes we have very difficult things to face. And Jesus has said he doesn't want to take us out of the world, but he wants us to be his strong and loving witnesses here in this world, as people who are walking with him. And so we pray that in our church and as individuals, we may come to know you better and understand that prayer is a deeper and deeper sharing with you and the things that are on your heart, and seeing answers which pass all our expectations and bring us to see some of the glory of your purposes. We thank you for the answers we have seen to our prayers recently, when it seemed impossible that Tim and Tanya would get a house, and now it seems that doors have been opened that just weren't possible before. We thank you for so many things that you have done in answer to the prayers that we have brought up before you, because we know that you are a sovereign God and that you have your sovereign purposes to work out through us. And so we praise you and worship you, because we shall see one day these things fulfilled. We shall see the working out of all these things. We shall see the answers to prayers that we thought weren't answered, or weren't answered in the way we hoped, because you know how to give good gifts to your children. And you've given first the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Saviour and our Lord. And we ask these things in his name, as all prayers should be. Amen.